This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
It's good to be back, right? Alhamdulillah. It's good to be back, but sad to be back. You know, back means Ramadan is done. So how was your Ramadan? Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Was good? This place was packed? I'm sure it was packed. Alhamdulillah. Is it still packed? That's a question. So why it's not packed? ولا نحن عباد رمضان, as they call it. The people who are so motivated and attached and do everything, it's Ramadan, once Ramadan done. So let's keep asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, we have to be realistic. We're not going to be the same as Ramadan because it's Ramadan. But that doesn't mean it's none or all. From coming here and doing Taraweeh and leaving at 11 or coming back, probably in the last 10 nights, coming here at 3 to none. No Qiyam al-Layl, done. Or we did fasting, walillah alhamd, and now nothing. 30 days. I mean, last week, 30 days, and it was, Allah knows how not easy it was, right? He made it easy. But now nothing? 6 Shawwal? Have you started making up your fasting? Or at least the 6 of Shawwal? We are almost going to be in the middle now. So don't ever allow yourself to regress quickly. That's what I say to myself. Because going up is much harder. We all know this. I mean, climbing anything is much harder, right? And then once you get to the top, which basically is the end, the last days of Ramadan, you're on the top, you know, full of energy, motivated, you're so close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Eid comes in, you're on the top. Eid, you are now going down. Now don't let the going down, you know, I'm sure all of you have tried this, when you sometimes like, I'm gonna fall, I'm just like going, slide, don't slide. Because once you slide, which a lot of us does, it's very hard to go back again. And you're going to wait till next Ramadan. And I don't know if I'm alive till next Ramadan. So a couple of things you have to promise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you do your best in ta'awanu al birri wa taqwa. Each one of you, help each other. 50% of what you did in Ramadan needs to continue. 50%. So here you go, you fasted 30 days. Minimum I am going to do. And don't go to the minimum right away, meaning I'm going to do 3 days a month. You already went, the discount is really low, right? Don't do it right away this way. You're going to say, you know what? If I was able to do it daily for 30 days, I am going to do it Monday and Thursday. And don't take excuses. Like I know somebody yesterday, subhanAllah, she was telling me, I didn't wake up for suhoor. And I said, when was the last time you ate? She said, 7 p.m. And I said, so what did you do? She said, you know what? I said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's Monday, it's Shawwal, I'm going to try. And if I really get exhausted, she was working also. If I really get exhausted, I am going to not do it. And you know, right? And usually the hardest time is actually till noon. Once noon passed, as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put strength in you. And she did. And I was like, I was thinking of her, and I was like, subhanAllah, it's 24 hours. Because from 7, the day before, till 7. So again, we pushed ourselves in Ramadan. It's very easy to keep pushing, but don't push it to the point where you're going to break, but don't go to the minimum. Like you don't do any more Qiyam al-Layl. Really? At all? Not even 2 rukat after Isha? I'm not going to say wake up at 4 a.m., I'm going to say 2 rukat after Aisha, plus the sunnah, 2 rukat. Can't do that? Why? What happened? Same person, 9 o'clock, 9 o'clock. What happened? Right? You finished, I don't know how many times you read the Quran, but at least you did 2 or 3 pages. Majority did at least a juzu a day. And now nothing for the last 10 days? Wow. Isn't that weird? Right, you really have to talk to yourself and say, what happened? And don't take an excuse, because we are so good in taking excuses. Well, it's Ramadan. No, it's me. And keep the momentum. It's extremely important to keep the momentum. And if you fail, get up and say, I can do it. Otherwise, By the time Shawwal is done and summer is going to come, you're going to go back to square one. The usual story and the usual questions. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for all of us. So the topic I'm going to talk to you today, and I didn't plan it, it just happened. It was supposed to be, this topic is actually before Ramadan, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has his own way of planning. So the title was, He Will Never Let Me Down. Before I start saying anything, how many of you in this class, and also for the people with us online, you can say this with confidence. The statement I used for the title, I have never had any time in my life where Allah let me down. Who can show me hands? At all. Never. Wow, now the hands became much less. Right? What made you say this and what does that mean? Actually, this statement is who said it, you all probably know. Sayyida Hajar. When Sayyidina Ibrahim, he brought them to Mecca. There was nothing. There was no Kaaba. There was nothing. It's just desert, right? No hotels, no Zamzam, nothing. And then he turned, left her and turned. He couldn't even look at her. This is his son and his wife. And then she kept saying, where are you going? Where are you leaving us? He couldn't answer. He couldn't turn back. It's very hard, you know? It's very hard to say no to say goodbye to people, let alone. And finally, she said, Allahu amaraka bihada. Did Allah order you to do this? That's what you all need to learn. Did Allah order you to do that? That's when he turned and he said, yes. And she said, go. He will never let us down. Go. Go where? Imagine this. You really have to live this to know what this means. And then the rest is, you all know it. That's why we do sa'i. That's why we walk between Safa and Marwa and Zamzam up till this day. Did Allah let her down? But she had the certainty. That's called tawakkul ala Allah. When you literally give all your affairs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all, there is no conditions with Allah. We all have to know this. We're coming out of Ramadan. We felt it. There's no if I can. Let me try. You know how we say sometimes? Let me try. Let's see if it's going to work. Let's see if people, what they are saying is true. It will never work this way. As if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, do you trust me or you don't? So let me take you through. It's a long topic, but I'm gonna give you some examples. The example is gonna blow your mind. It's good because the example is A plus, is really high. And the more you think of it, you're gonna get closer, bi-idhnillah. So basically, what is tawakkul? Translated as relying on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I like trusting Allah. Because relying sometimes we don't really feel it. But when I trust someone, right? And you look at her and you say, you know what? I'm going to give you this. This is the dearest thing to me. It doesn't matter what it is. But it's so close. It's so it's so dear to me. And I am not worried. And she'll say, why is that? It's because I know you will take care of it. And I'm sure every one of you in her life have done this to someone. That's tawakkul. However, this is 24/7 in every step of your life. From the morning to the evening, you never rely on you or me or my ability or my thinking or my planning. The my or I does not come with tawakkul. So trust fully in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I'm going to share with you some of the definitions of it. There's empty space here. Sister, salamu alaikum. There's one right there waiting for you in the front.
Do I have to behave?
No, you always behave, mashallah. Tayyib. So it says, if you want to write that, it's really nice. To give oneself over or to rely and depend or to have confidence in someone else. To have confidence. Now, why did I start with the story of Sayyida Hajar? What did she have? Well, say it not tawakkul, because we use this word so softly and we use it casual. And a lot of people doesn't really know what depth of it. But when I remember her, and I, especially if I was, when I'm in Mecca and I just close my eyes and think of this place, there's nothing in it. And I'm alone, a woman with a baby breastfeeding. And my husband left me. And I turned to him and says, Allah ordered you, he will never let me down. That's tawakkul. When you have nothing to give you the confidence or the peace that it will happen. You know, when we say 1 + 1 = 2, because there is one and there is one, together becomes two, that's not tawakkul. When there is nothing, no one, no plus, no another number one, and you say it will be two, because it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some of the definition. And since a good number of you are Arab, so I'm going to read it this, because when you read it in Arabic, you will feel it even more. صدق اعتماد القلب على الله عز وجل في استجلاب المنافع ودفع المضار من أمور الدنيا والآخرة والاعتقاد بأنه لا يعطي ولا يمنع ولا يضر ولا ينفع سواه. Memorize this. Truthfully, you rely, not you. Truthfully, the heart rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does that mean? That only Him, capital H, Allah, will bring benefits to me. And only Him, and only Hadi, is extremely important for tawakkul. Once you say Allah and, you don't have the tawakkul. You're trying. But this is only, He's the only one. My heart is saying before my mouth, before I hear it, my heart has no doubt. He's the only one who's going to remind me of an example in case I, a true one, if I forget. He's the only one who's going to bring benefit, the only one who's going to ward off, remove harm from everything in this life and the hereafter. And this is the real definition. No one gives. No one holds. No one benefit. No one harm except Him. So you are in an interview and you have done your homework. You dress this way, you speak this way, you do, right? If you are sitting in front of whoever is interviewing you and you're looking at their faces and then you are seeing that they like you, they didn't like you, your tawakkul needs improvement. When you are in that interview, you're going to say to yourself before you open your mouth, looking at that person, you're not going to say it, but your heart will say, you're not giving me the job. Allah, if He wants, He'll give me the job through you. So when you leave and you did excellent, you did it by the book, and guess what? They didn't take you. You're not going to say, and I hear this all the time, oh, because I'm a woman. Oh, because I'm a hijabi. Oh, because I have an accent. And you give all these excuses. Tawakkul is not there. You should have said, he didn't want it to happen. Done. And what this brings to your life? P-E-A-C-E. Peace. You're not going to see people. This is the real tawakkul. You don't see people operating. You see Allah operates. It's very difficult. You know why? Because we don't know who is He. We don't invest our time, all of us, myself number one, may Allah forgive me, in knowing who is He. You know, I did it. I planned it. It worked. Tawakkul, you left at home. So that's one. And then this is going to make it much easier. They say, Al-Mutawakkil, the person who really relies on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is exactly acting like a dead person in the hand of the person who's washing his or her body. They turn them whichever side they turn. Have you washed a body? Anybody here washed a body? Does the dead person do anything? When I open the mouth, you have to do that. When I clean, you have to do that. Turn them on the right, you have to turn, they turn. Turn them on the left, you turn. I highly recommend you all do it. It has to be. It will change your life. You'll never cry for anything except you missed your salah or you're not obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You keep saying, one day I'm going to be here. So that dead person have no control, she or he, on the way they move, operate. This is the state of the person who trusts Allah. That's why I told you I love the word trust. It brings me the feeling I want to feel more than rely. When I trust Allah, I trust the person who's washing my body, he'll do or she will do the right thing. So if she turns me to the right, that's how it should be. That's how you are, or you should be, subhanAllah. And it is a sign of your real faith. That's why we all think we are believers. Please forgive me, we're out of Ramadan, so I have to give you a little bit a hard class today. Right? To keep the momentum. It's not the time. After Ramadan, sometimes say, MashaAllah, Tabarakallah. You're going to say, that's it? That's what I did? I'll share with you a story without mentioning the name of the sheikh just because we are public. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught me something this Ramadan. A friend of mine says, go and pray in this masjid. This is the night of Ramadan. And she said, this imam starts Qiyam from the night of Ramadan, not Qiyam, Tahajjud, from the first day of Ramadan. And she said, you know what? He reads a little bit long. Didn't say anything else. So I went. I entered 12:20, and he was already started. And he was in the third page of Surah Al-Baqarah. And I was praying. We finished the first juz. He's still praying. And we finished the second juz. He's still praying. First rukah. He finished with the Baqarah. Allahu Akbar. You go for ruku'ah. Almost the same length. How do you know? When he says, Sami Allahu liman hamida, you hear in the masjid, ah. You hear it. I was there. It's not someone told me. I did it with him. Then he went for ruku' for sujood. So he gets up and I was like, okay, let's see what he's going to do in the second rukah. Ali Imran. When did he finish? Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sabiru wa sabiru wa rabitu. Finished Ali Imran. Finished, I looked at the watch. We start 12:20. He finished at 2. 2 rukat only. And the man is not a young man. Again, I'm not going to say the name because we are live streamed. He's not. He's probably in his 60s. Second day, he did Al-An'am, all of it, in one rukah. So let's move, right? The himam, the resolve, needs to move. You know, like when you are in your career, I always say this to myself. When you are in your career, do you stay in your career the same way? You're always a teller, start all your life a teller? No, right? I'm a physician, we all stayed all my life as a resident? No, resident. Then you become first year, second, third, fourth, and then you graduate, then you become a junior associate or a and then you. So why in deen we don't? Tawakkul, you put it as a goal and you say, by Allah, by His help, I'm going to be there. Because the people who did it, the sheikh who prayed, it was not, Allah didn't give him more than what He gave us, other than attachment to Allah and to the book of Allah. I finished with him at 3 a.m. the night of Friday. And I looked at my friend and I said, is he coming back for Fajr? He said, of course, Jumu'ah. So I came back for Fajr. He read Fajr as if he was sleeping all night. As-sajda and al-insan finished. He gave us a talk after Fajr. I was like, Rabbi, you're showing me this to teach me, to tell me there's way, people way ahead of you in that caravan. Way ahead of you. And we all think, mashallah, we are. So tawakkul, this is what I need. It's a higher level. But if people can do it, I can start the road. And you will get there, bi-idhnillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used it in the Quran more than 38 places. In almost every aspect of our deen. In da'wah. You're calling people. You're talking to your children. You're talking to your friend. You're talking to your spouse. Tawakkul is there. And here it says, فَإِن تَوَلَّوْا فَقُلْ حَسْبِيَ اللَّهِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّهُ. This is at the end of Surah At-Tawbah. عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتْ وَهُوَ رَبُّ الْعَرْشِ الْعَظِيمِ. That's the last verse of Surah At-Tawbah. If they did not respond to me, when you go to talk to somebody about the deen, whatever you want, out of love, out of caring, right? Don't go and says, they better listen to me. Then you don't have tawakkul, because you don't change people. Allah changed them. You're going to say, Ya Rabbi, I relied on you. I trust in you. You're going to make me say what you want me to say. And I'm going to go. And then you say to Allah, Alayka tawakkalt. If they listened, Alhamdulillah. If they didn't listen, Alayka tawakkalt. Now, that's the most important thing in these days. By Allah, but don't answer me because I was talking about tawakkul. When you get your paycheck at the end of the month, when they deposit in your bank account, when your parents gives you allowance, what do you say to yourself when you see the money? I'm glad you're all silent. Because we don't say, Alhamdulillah alladhi razaqani. What do we say? Worked so hard this month. Or you look at your parents and says, that's it. And they have more money. They only gave me $50. Right? You all are laughing because it's reality. What I'm saying, what is my hal? My state is saying, you gave me the money. My work brought me the salary. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. And then? وَيَرْزُقْهُ مَنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. Whomsoever have Allah conscious, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will find a way out for everything you need. Number two, وَيَرْزُقْهُ مَنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. And in the next verse, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ, the next, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Whomsoever rely on Allah, trust in Allah, is enough. And Allah responded, or actually this verse is a response to the question Allah put in Surah Az-Zumar. You just came out of Ramadan, so hopefully you know the sequence. Surah Az-Zumar, the groups, is before Surah Al-Talaq. Allah put this question with no answer. أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِكَافٍ عَبْدَهُ. Isn't Allah enough for you? There's no answer. Why? Because the answer is yes. Like when you say, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ, you know, Surah Ar-Rahman, this repeated rhetorical question, which of the favors of your Lord you deny? What is the answer? Because the answer is clear. أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِكَافٍ عَبْدَهُ. Isn't Allah enough for you? And the answer is yes. Should be. So when people look at you and says, don't put your hijab, they will not give you the job. أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِكَافٍ عَبْدَهُ. Isn't Allah enough for me? When you leave something, especially when you leave something you love, whether it's a human being, whether it is material, just for only one reason, not because you can't get it, it's in your hand, and you left it for only one title, it is not pleasing to Allah. See what Allah will give you. أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِكَافٍ عَبْدَهُ. That's tawakkul. That's the trust you have in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you feel afraid, and we all do that, right? And Allah put it also in the Quran. إِن يَنْصُرْكُمُ اللَّهُ فَلَا غَالِبَ لَكُمْ وَيَخْذُلْكُمْ فَمَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَنْصُرُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِي. And then, وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. If Allah will let you down, nobody will give you victory. And if Allah wants to give you victory, no one will be able to have victory over you. And Allah then says, and you say, how am I going to get this? Really? Allah knows how we think and what our weaknesses are. And then He says, وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. On Allah, the believers should trust. This is the opposite way. A result first, then the mean. If I want victory in my life, wallahi alladhi a'lahu, I say this one I'm fully confident in it. You want to be successful in your life? Think of Allah only. You want to be happy? And happiness in the way you think, but not the material happiness. Have Allah number one in your life. And trust in Him. And sacrifice for Him. And put Him number one before any human being. See what He will give you. Subhana. And even when you travel, I mean, there's a lot, but because of the time, because I wanted to, Sayyidina Yusuf, right? Sayyidina Yaqub, when the brothers came in, his sons came in after he lost Yusuf, and they wanted the other brother. You know the story. Because the king, which is Sayyidina Yusuf al-Aziz, did not let them do any trade. And he said, you bring me the younger brother, I'll give you the trade. So the father, Sayyidina Yaqub, what did he say? لَنْ أُرْسِلَهُ مَعَكُمْ حَتَّى تُؤْتُونِي مَوْثِقًا مِنَ اللَّهِ. I'm going to not send him with you. Unless you give me a promise, or literally, you're going to sign an agreement, and Allah is the witness that you will bring him back. There's a chair empty in the front, my dear. Right here. Right? And then he said, وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. On Allah, you need to rely. هذا الconcept of التوكل, we need not only to learn it here, I need to practice it. If you are outside here, right? And suddenly you're talking to your friend and suddenly you find there is only two cars left in the parking lot at 9 p.m. and it's you and your friend. And then you get a phone call, so the friend left. And you finish the phone call and guess what? The car didn't work. And you're the only one in that parking. 10 p.m., let's say 2 a.m. in Ramadan. What's the normal reaction? Fear, panic, where is my phone? I'm going to call this and that. Alaysa Allahu bikafin abda. Isn't Allah enough for you? Where is the dua? It doesn't mean you don't take the means. This is the very important. But number one reaction, spontaneous reaction, that's how you know. It's how you react right away. It was in your heart. Immediately you're going to say, you will never let me down. You're going to protect me. When this comes out immediately, you will see wonders. And this is reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, so does that mean I am not going to do anything because Allah is enough for me? So I'm hungry. I'm going to sit in my bed. And I'm going to say, أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِكَافٍ عَبْدًا. Isn't Allah enough for me? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send, you know what, whatever it is, the shawarma sandwich is going to come from top to my mouth. Is that how it is? So what is that then? The famous hadith that everyone knows, I doubt anybody in this room doesn't know this hadith. Thank you. اعقلها وتوكل. Right? Tie the camel and rely on Allah. Right? Everyone knows this. I doubt if everyone who knows really what the Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam meant in this. So if I want, and let's get to the hungry one because that's easier for all of us. It's very easy to understand. So if I am hungry and I'm sitting on this chair, if I'm not going to get up and go to wherever the food is, I'm not going to get full. بس أليس الله بكافٍ عبده؟ Isn't Allah enough? So how do you do this both? And this is the same thing. I have an interview tomorrow. So I don't prepare anything. Of course you prepare. So where is أليس الله بكافٍ عبده؟ So where is Allah is enough for me? Did you get the point? Answer me. I need to see the answer. How do you combine this? The car will not move unless I get to the car, turn it on, and drive. I'm sorry? I shouldn't say a teamwork, because that's Allah, and this is me. I know what you meant, but I just want to make sure when we say it the right way. So how do you tell this to yourself or to the youth? The I did it. I'm sorry? Yeah, what does that mean? Sa'i work. So what? So okay, so I worked. Isn't Allah enough for me? Why do I need to work? That question always comes up. Always. How do you combine it? You're absolutely right. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now this is the example. I started the class by saying Sayyidah Hajar, right? The wife of Sayyidina Ibrahim. She said, Allah ordered you, go. So why did Allah made her 7 times? That's what we do when we go for Umrah. Why? Didn't Allah, wasn't Allah, isn't Allah able of right away getting Zamzam out? What is he teaching you and me? The sa'i, the word you use. So how do I combine it here?
By accepting the result.
Not accepting the result. Accepting the result is later on. My sa'i, I want you all to know this. My sa'i, my action, my work, my preparation will not bring fruit unless Allah allows it. And this is actually a concept in the Quran. I mean, again, we are just out of Ramadan. Surah Fatir. مَا يَفْتَحِ اللَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ مِنْ رَحْمَةٍ فَلَا مُمْسِكَ لَهَا وَمَا يُمْسِكَ فَلَا مُرْسِيَ لَهُ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ. When Allah opened a door of mercy, no one can close it. And when Allah closed the door of mercy, no one can open it. طيب, that's beautiful in my real life. So when I go, the same thing I told you about the interview, because the interview is a very good example of tawakkul. I go to the interview, I prepare everything. Everything. Exactly. I read, I dress the way it is, I prepare for the questions. But when I enter and I sit in front of them, I never in a minute say to me, don't worry, you prepared well. Most of the time he will show you, your preparation didn't work. Versus you're gonna say, Ya Allah, you taught me, I need to prepare, say, but I know the result is not in my hand. Or in my act, in my preparation, the result in yours. How many times in your life, in every age, you went to something and you have prepared zero? Zero. Right? All the questions that came in the exams are the one that you didn't study. How many of you? But then you passed. How did that happen? That's when he teaches you and me. The result is not in your hand. The result is in his hand. That's tawakkul. When you have this yaqeen, certainty, no one can change it. That what I do will not bring fruits unless Allah allows it. And he put this concept repeatedly in the Quran. It's twice. في يونس وفي الأنعام. Allah said, وَيَمْسَسْكَ اللَّهُ بِضُرٍ فَلَا كَاشِفَ لَهُ إِلَّا هُوَ. If Allah touch you with dhur, something you don't like, evil, harm, no one will move it except Allah. Whatever means you take. You know when you have headache? And you take the Tylenol? Do you think the Tylenol works? Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Don't take Tylenol. Ibuprofen is better. Don't we say that? Doesn't work for me. The extra strength worked for me. Don't we say that? Here you go. Your hal is saying the Tylenol will remove the headache. Well, but I took the Tylenol and the headache went away. What should you say? Allah allowed the Tylenol to work. And that's the dua when you put the Tylenol in your mouth. Say, Ya Allah, make it work. Subhanallah. Let me tell you a couple of the stories because, again, the Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, time restraint. But that's okay. Teaches us patience also. So, this is a couple of the questions, right? Just bear with me, right? Today I put it on my phone. Don't tell me why. Okay. Look what he said, alayhi salatu wassalam. This is in At-Tabarani. If the human being, let me read in Arabic. لو أن ابن آدم هرب من رزقه كما يهرب من الموت لأدركه رزقه كما يدركه الموت. Let's translate. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, this is in Abu Na'im al-Hulya, or this is in al-Tabarani. If the human being run away from his risk, from sustenance, from what it is going to come to you, the risk will run after you till it gets you. In the same way that we run from death, and death will catch us. Can anyone run away from death? Can anybody? Can anyone claim that? That's one of the facts, alhamdulillah. We all agree. Same thing is your risk. When you ordered food, right? And the food, for whatever the reason, was delivered to another house. How many times this happened? Not often, right? The first thing you should say is what? Oh, the driver, oh, the whatever, oh, me put the wrong address. It is not my risk. It was not to be in my mouth. Then you relied on him, subhanah. Look at this one. Hadi, write it down because this really is going to help you. And he said three verses in the Quran. This is Amr ibn Qais. He said three verses in the Quran was more than enough for me all my life. Really? Three verses? Some of you may know it. The first one is what I just shared with you. Whenever Allah afflicts you with something, and he said dhur here, no one will remove it except him. Don't beg people, beg him. Tell him, make this person do this to me. Don't go to this person and say, you do it to me. Did you see the difference? You're gonna go. You're gonna go to the physician. Of course you go. You take the means, as sari. They told you this is the best physician for whatever you have. Don't you go and says, I was told nobody else will help me except you. Who's gonna remove it? You're gonna say, you sit in front of him or her, and you're gonna say, Ya Allah, ajri shifa ala yadaha. Let the cure comes through her hand. So the first one, that's what he said. This is the first ayah. Second, which I also shared with you, fi fatar. Whenever Allah opened the door of mercy, no one will close it. Have this yaqeen. Allah, if we had the yaqeen, how strong we are. And we will be, as an ummah, as a nation, as an individual, man or a woman, young or old. When Allah opened the door of mercy, nobody. Wait till see what I'm going to do to you. You know how people say this? If you have it inside you, you're going to laugh. And you say, and you don't say it to people. You say it to yourself. No one can harm you unless Allah allows it. No, we get scared from people. Oh, she said that. Oh, let me plan. Three. And then, Adi. وَمِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا وَيَعْلَمُ مُسْتَقَرَّهَا وَمُسْتَوْدَعَهَا كُلٌّ فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. It's all في هود. There is nothing walks on this earth. داب is not the animal. It's anything that walk. So you and me and everything, a lizard and a cat, a coyote, a mountain lion, whatever. None. Bird, none. But what they eat and what's come to them is by Allah's will. Can you imagine? وَيَعْلَمُ مُسْتَقَرَّهَا وَمُسْتَوْدَعَهَا. And he knows where it starts and where it ends. It's all written. And I run to you. And I run to you to help me. And I leave the one who have done all this. Did you get the feeling? Do you know how much we don't know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And we know people, we're scared from people, think they will do this to me, this or they will do not this to me. Now I'm going to give you the examples. So Ibrahim ibn Adham is legendary in tazkiyah, in purification of the heart. So a man came to him and he said, I have too many children. There's too many children in my house. What should I do? You know what he answered? Of course, the reason he complained is because he doesn't have enough, right? And he looked at him and says, go back home. Irja ila manzilik, go back home. See who of your children, their sustenance is from not from Allah, send him to my house. So when you fight with your siblings, and this is for the youth, right? Because they took something from you, and it's a big deal. My computer, my whatever, my iPad, my dinner, my whatever. Right? You all do this. My treat. Remember, it was not meant to be in your mouth. It was not meant to be in your hand. And the brother or the sister or the sibling or the friend is only a mean. Because Allah, this is how He operates. He doesn't show it to you directly. He shows it to you through people. Ma'ruf al-Karhi was another legendary. He's from Baghdad. He's a legendary of the hearts and relationship with Allah. So people, when they come and ask, and he said, I'm going to ask you a question. He said what? He said, just give me an advice. I need an advice to keep me going. How many of you need that? I need an advice to keep me going after Ramadan, to keep me going this difficult life, keep, right? So what do you think he answered? If you come to me, what am I going to say? Or I come to you, what are you going to say? Just work hard, don't give up, right? People fail, that's how we say. He said, tawakkal ala Allah, trust in Allah, okay? But now look at the next. Hatta, till Allah becomes your intimate friend, the only one you sit with, and the place where you go and complain and know that people will never benefit you. They will not harm you. They will not give you. And they will not hold from you. Is that my relationship with Allah? Silence, I like that. Because it hits home, as we say. And then look at this one. There was a tyrant at some time. And then he was really not only tyrant, but he was so unjust that it says he had killed 18,000 people. Sabran, meaning he put them and he starved them till they die, which is a really hard death. So there was a really Abu al-Hasan al-Zahid, who's a man of Allah, and he's not afraid but from Allah, and he say the words of truth in front of tyrants. So he came to him, and he starts advising him directly. So what do you think? And he said, you know what? You are really unjust. You have done this. You have done this. You need to be afraid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the tyrant, of course, got angry and upset. And he said, okay, you want to see what I'm going to do to you? Okay, bring him. He put him in a place in public, and he brought lion that has not had anything to eat for a couple of days. Starving lion. Right? We see a dog, see what happens to us. Coyote, mountain lion, we're done. This is a real lion, and the lion hungry. I mean, this is his point. And the lion came. And that Abu al-Hasan, Ya Allah, when I was reading this story, I was like, Rabbi, give me 1%, 1% of this. Honestly. Because that man was sitting, not moving, and the lion is coming. What will happen to you? Heart attack, and I'm done before he comes in, right? So, they saw, this is a true story. They saw the lion comes and go back. Comes and go back. And that man is not moving. لا يتحرك ولا يبالي. He doesn't move and nothing is affecting him. And the people are looking. Some are crying. Some are so scared. And some are so worried about Abu al-Hasan. But what happened? The lion came in, smelled him, and turned back and went. So you can imagine the scene. So the people asked him, what were you thinking? And literally, I was like, imagine this, I'm dead actually. Before the lion comes in, I'm dead. It's going to be a great dinner for him anyway. So they said, what did you think? What were you feeling? What were you thinking when this hungry lion coming to you? Look what he said. He said, I was thinking, are you ready? I'm really making it exciting for you. He said, I was thinking, is the saliva of the lion will negate my wudu? I was thinking of his salah, thinking of the wudu. What a connection. What a connection. And what happened? He turned. The lion turned. That's when this story tells you what I was sharing with you from the beginning. If Allah wants harm, no one will prevent it. And when Allah moves harm from you, lion, hungry, no one will bring harm unless Allah allows it. And then they asked him, weren't you afraid from the lion? يعني نوم كلا. He said, لا كفاني الله. Allah is enough for me. Now, to reach to this point, this man, in his daily life, Allah is enough for him. That doesn't come now. I sat in this lecture and I said, and the next thing, the lion is going to come and I'm going to wait and I say, okay, is his saliva is impure? No. No. This is my daily life. This is my daily training. That alaysa Allahu bikafin abda. My motto in my daily life, isn't Allah enough for you? Isn't Allah enough for you? You ask yourself, you don't talk to people. I can't say this to you unless I have it. Subhanallah. And then he said, didn't Allah says, isn't Allah enough for you? And I, again, for the time, I'm just going to say, when we really reach that point, and this is for everybody, when you really, really rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have two stories. This is real ones. This is woman. A woman, somebody was asking, I was there actually, and they ask her, you know, I mean, she was a woman of wealth, but she also was a giver. And they asked her, aren't you worried about, no, they said, how much money you have in your 401k? This is real. She gave a number, which is yani a joke for her wealth. And they looked, of course, the natural question is, aren't you worried about when you become 65 or 70 or whatever? What should she say? What did she say? Was a lesson. And she was like maybe in her 40s, 50. She said, all this time of my life, all these years of my life, I have never slept without a roof on my head. I was never hungry. I never needed a human being. Why do you think when I get older, he will not give this to me? Alaysa Allahu bikafin abda. And she acts by it. Because the number she gave in the 401k is a joke for the standards. Alaysa Allahu bikafin abda. You need to make this one of your mottos in your life. Isn't Allah enough for me? And you have to answer, absolutely, He is. And the last hadith I will share with you, anytime, every time you see a bird, that hadith has to come to you. لو توكلتم على الله حق توكله لرزقكم مثل ما يرزق الطير تغدو خماصة وتروح بطانة. If you rely on Allah, the true reliance, the true trust, the way He wants you to think of Him, He would have given you sustenance the same way He gives the birds. They come, they leave in the morning hungry, and they come back full. Do they have an app? Do they have a phone? Do they have a plan? Why they come to this window, not that window? Why is you put rice and you put bread? They come to the bread and not to the rice. Alaysa Allahu bikafin abda. That's the meaning of He will never let me down. If you really have it in you and practice it daily, with no doubt. Once you doubt, he'll fail you because he's teaching you a lesson. You don't doubt me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never let you down. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who really يتوكلون على الله حق توكله. That they really rely on Allah, the reality, the real tawakkul, and they see Him operating only, not people. And they see Him only, He is the only one who brings benefit and removes harm, and the opposite is true. Ya Rabbi, Ameen. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabi tasliman kathira. Jazakumullahu khairan. For the youth, we have two announcements. Alhamdulillah, Allah made me remember. For the youth, we are going to start this Thursday, 6:30 to 7:30, Friday morning after Fajr. But the requirement is you come for Fajr on Jumu'ah. We are actually starting Quran recitation improvement class for the woman. And it's going to be upstairs, inshallah. But you have to come for Fajr. If you don't come for Fajr, it's not going to happen. I'm just kidding. Right? Jazakumullahu khairan. So you need to push. Come on. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa hu. Astaghfiruhu wa atubu ilayhi. Sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabi tasliman kathira. Barakallahu feekum. Quietly, let's leave so the men can come and get.